Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the last chapter, John chapter 21, and we'll be reading together verses 15 through verse 19 this morning. Verses 15 through verse 19. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in John 21. Sometime in the next few months, I'll begin teaching a Sunday night class on what is known today as the Emergent Church. Upon hearing that name, you may be asking yourself, emergent, what does that mean? What are they emerging from? In many ways, the Emergent Church is the latest church movement in our country. And it is a reaction to what many of their pastors have seen as what is wrong with evangelical churches today. Many of these emerging church pastors were trained in seminaries where the goal for ministry they were taught was to have a successful ministry, success defined as a large building, a number of thousands of people that are members, and to have people drawn to that ministry for all the kind of things that can be accomplished for the Lord. These pastors, recognizing, having worked upon graduation in various churches like this, serving on multiple staffed churches, have recognized something was wrong with that model. They testify that they felt as if they were being molded into a particular shape, that they weren't allowed to think for themselves, that the successful model for ministry is the model that should be followed by every pastor that seeks to be successful, with no freedom in terms of variety or how those pastors should think. In our upcoming Sunday evening class, we will find out that we do not agree with the Emergent Church remedy to this problem. Nevertheless, they have pointed out something about these types of ministries which we do agree with. So often in these types of ministries, instead of the focus being on our Lord, the focus of the ministry is on the man, the building, or the model for success. As we have come to the end of the Gospel of John, you will notice that in Jesus' words to his disciple Peter, he is describing for us a very different model for ministry than that earthly model which is so familiar to us today. A model which is based on our Lord's instructions to the disciple and the work our Lord instructs him to carry on after he ascends to heaven. In last week's sermon, we pointed out that John chapter 21 is the gospel writer of John's Great Commission. We saw last week in the first verses of this chapter that as Jesus recognizes his disciples have returned to their boats and they're fishing, he will now describe them and instruct them in terms of what it means to be not fishermen, but fishers of men. Now, in the second half of this chapter, he is instructing Peter and the church as to how they are to carry on this ministry in his absence. But in our verses this morning, there are really two main points. The first is the reinstatement of Peter as Jesus' disciple. And the second is the character of the kind of ministry that Peter and the church would carry on upon his return, Jesus' return into heaven. Now you notice, first of all, as we begin that first point, Peter's reinstatement. That in verse 15, Jesus calls Peter, Simon Peter, Simon son of John. See that in verse 15? In fact, that phrase, Simon son of John, is repeated all three times as Jesus questions him. Simon son of John, verse 15. Simon son of John, verse 16. Simon son of John, verse 17. Three times that language is used, that name for Simon Peter. And the only other place where Jesus calls Peter Simon son of John is in chapter 1, when Jesus first calls him as a disciple. Verse 42 of chapter 1, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means, when translated, Peter. There is a connection between the first calling of Peter and the other disciples in chapter 1, and now what we find in chapter 21. Peter is being reinstituted as a disciple, or reinstated as a disciple. But what happened in between? Why is this necessary that Peter be reinstated as a disciple? Well, there are other clues in our text to remind us of a previous episode in John's gospel concerning Peter. The first clue we find is in verse 9. When they landed on the shore, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. The only other place in the Gospel of John where we read that there is a fire of burning coals is found in chapter 18. Peter is outside in the courtyard while Jesus is being questioned inside, and he is warming himself outside in the courtyard by a fire of coals. Other reminders we find in John 21 of that episode in John 18 is the threefold denial and the threefold questioning of our Lord. In John 18, as Peter is standing outside warming himself by that fire of coals, a girl comes up to him, a servant girl, verse 17. "You are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" "I am not." Verse 25, as Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." The denials intensify when in the third one, verse 26, one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him by the olive grove?" Again, Peter denies it. And at that moment, the rooster began to crow. That is the last that we have heard of Peter in John's gospel. Peter left outside in the courtyard, denying the Savior three times. Jesus taken before Pilate, crucified on the cross, having died. No mention of Peter in any of those verses until chapter 20, when he finds the empty tomb and Jesus appears and instructs him. Jesus tells the disciples after his appearance in verse 21 of chapter 20, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He breathes on them the Holy Spirit, and he commands them to go out and to preach the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. But left in our mind is in John's gospel is what happened to Peter in chapter 18. Peter, who had earlier said to Jesus, "I will die with you, Lord," denies him three times. And so now the gospel writer of John knows that that needs to be concluded. He knows that that episode needs to be taken care of for the church to have confidence in the disciple, the main disciple that Jesus reinstates at the end of this gospel. And so as the threefold denial took place in chapter 18, now we see a threefold questioning in which Peter is reinstated. Jesus asks, verse 15, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you. Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, verse 16, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" This time, Peter is hurt. And there are many who think that, well, the reason Peter is hurt is because Jesus has asked him a third time and he's not taking Peter at his word. But the text, as it goes on, clues us in to something more. When Jesus asks the third time, Peter is hurt because it reminds him of his denial. Peter is hurt because he is reminded of what took place in chapter 18, and he knows that the Lord is thinking of that himself as he is questioning Peter. "Do you love me?" Jesus asked. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love the truth, and I love you." Do you see the difference in Peter's answer? He doesn't say, "Lord, you know that I love you." He says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Peter is reminded of what took place earlier in the gospel when Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And now as Jesus is asking the question a third time, Peter is reminded that the Lord knows all things. That the Lord has already stated earlier in the gospel what he would do. And now the Lord is asking those three questions again. And the Lord knows what Peter will do. What will happen to this Peter? As our Lord instructs him, as our Lord returns and ascends into heaven, as Peter and the other disciples will carry on the work of the church, will Peter deny him? The Lord knows all things. In fact, as the verses go on, Jesus does speak of the future. Verse 18, "I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted." That's what Peter did as a disciple who even denied him three times. "But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Many in the church, believe that according to church tradition, the reference to stretch out your hands is a reference to Peter's crucifixion. Church tradition tells us, some early theological writers have said, that Peter was crucified upside down. We don't know for sure if that's what happened. It might have. Maybe it didn't. Nevertheless, as you look at the last part of verse 19, Jesus explains to us what that statement means. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. This Peter, who denied Jesus three times, has now been reinstated. And this Peter, who was so afraid before our Savior died for him on the cross and now has witnessed the resurrection, this Peter will no longer be afraid. This Peter will faithfully follow the Lord's instructions. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. This Peter will faithfully proclaim the gospel in the power of the resurrection, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this Peter will follow him. Isn't that what Jesus said? Follow me. Earlier in the gospel, that connection we have to Simon, son of John, and Peter's first calling as an apostle in John chapter 1, Jesus has told those disciples to follow me. And sometimes people think, well, what Jesus means there when he said follow me is that follow him while he's here on earth. Walk after him. Go where he goes. Witness the miracles. Also, witness his resurrection and his death and all the things that Jesus did. But now that Jesus isn't here anymore, what does it mean? How can they follow? But you see, Jesus is telling Peter what it means to follow him even after his ascension into heaven. Follow me. He's in heaven. We can't follow him as before. But Jesus tells him very specifically in verse 19 and verse 18, Jesus said this to indicate what kind of death Peter would die to glorify God. That means that Peter, in following our Savior, will give up the things of this world for the sake of him, that he will dedicate his life to serving him, that if it means giving his life, and the Lord, who knows all things and who knew all things, that Peter would deny him three times before the rooster crows, now our Lord knows all things. What kind of death Peter will die as he follows our Lord in his suffering and in his death, so that our Savior would be glorified on earth through his people, through his disciples, through his servants. Even now that he's in heaven, Peter can still follow. And when Jesus tells Peter those words, follow me, he is reinstated as a disciple. He is understanding of what it means to follow the Savior after his ascension. But that brings us then to the second point of today's sermon. And that has to do with the specific instructions that our Lord gives to the Apostle Peter, Disciple Peter, in terms of what that ministry, what that service, what that following Jesus would look like upon his departure. As you look a little closer at the threefold questioning and the threefold answers, notice as Jesus gives these commands They are not commands without an indicative. The indicative is, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The command, feed my lambs. Jesus doesn't say, feed. I command you to feed. He feeds because he loves the Lord. His feeding is because he is in the indicative in Jesus Christ, and now he can give commands. Peter is not instructed as a man to command without loving the Lord. He commands out of his love for the Lord. He takes care of the sheep out of his love for the Lord. He feeds the sheep because he loves the Lord and belongs to the Lord. And because of this indicative and the imperative flowing out of that indicative, we are clued in to the kind of ministry that is being described by Jesus to his disciples. In fact, if you look at the second part of each command Jesus gives, Jesus said, feed my lambs. They are not Peter's lambs. They are not the pastor's lambs. They are the Savior's lambs. They are Christ's lambs. And now as our Lord leaves and he instructs the apostles, as he instructs Peter, you must love me. And as you love me, I command you to feed my lambs. This is not about drawing people into a church to hear about your great wisdom or your dynamic personality. This is not about drawing people into a church because of all the wonderful philosophical things that you can tell them about life and how they are to live it. This is about feeding them the Word of God. The Word that Jesus has written through His Holy Spirit in His Word. The Word that He has commanded His disciples to believe and proclaim. And His servants, His pastors, His elders, to teach and proclaim. Many people have asked, what does it mean when Jesus said to Peter in verse 15, do you truly love me more than these? Some have said that these is the fish. Here Peter, at the beginning of the chapter, goes out fishing again. And Jesus gives him the catch of a lifetime. Throw your net on this side of the boat. And there's so many fish in the net, they cannot hold the net inside. And the fish are so large, they cannot bring it. They have to tow it into shore. The catch of a lifetime for a fisherman. And some are saying, well, when he's saying to Peter, do you truly love me more than these? He's speaking of the fish. Do you love me more than being a fisherman? Others have said, no, that these are the other disciples. Do you love me more than these other disciples? More than you love them? More than you love your friends? Others have said, no, what is being asked is that the question is being asked of Peter, do you love me more than any other disciple? I'm not sure we can 100% solve that question. But it does seem to me that what these is referring to is more broadly the world. But specifically in our text, the fish and the bread. They have come into shore and they're having breakfast with Jesus. They have fish and bread which Jesus has prepared. Just as in John chapter 6, there was fish and bread. But in John chapter 6, as Jesus is feeding the 5,000, he is feeding them fish and bread. But the spiritual meaning behind that fish and bread is what it means in fulfillment of being the bread of life in which God's people will be spiritually fed. And as Jesus begins to question him, do you love me more than these? He is drawing Peter to an understanding of the spiritual aspect of being fed. Peter, this is not about bread and fish. This is about being a faithful shepherd in which you faithfully proclaim the word of God. That you feed my sheep spiritually with this word. You don't preach your agenda. You don't preach and teach your philosophy in life or the latest thing you read on the internet or something that's really interesting and exciting so that people will come to your church in great numbers because it's an exciting place to be. Jesus is telling Peter, you feed them this word that I fed you. These are my lambs, not yours. They should not be attracted to you, Peter. They are my lambs. All you are the person that's in the middle that I am using, that I have called to feed that word to them and strengthen them, and not yourself. But you notice Jesus goes on. Second question, Jesus' answer is worded differently. Verse 16, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Many of your translations, I think, do a better job of translating the words take care. Shepherd my sheep. You see, one role that Peter has and the church has is to feed the lambs, to feed them the word of God, but they are also called to shepherd. And in their shepherding, they are not to be controlling figures who control every aspect of the sheep's life. Notice the wording again that Jesus used. Take care of my sheep, pasture my sheep. They're not yours to abuse. They are not yours to whip and direct with your strong language, with your personality. They are not yours to use for your own benefit and your own purposes. They are not yours to tell them that they need to give things to you, that they need to provide out large sums of money or whatever it is for your ministry, for what you're doing. They are not yours to abuse verbally or sexually, as some have. Jesus is instructing Peter and the church to shepherd them. It's not about being a nice guy so that everybody likes you and you've done so many great things for everybody and for these people and that they'll like you because of the way that you can help them so they're drawn to you. Shepherding is about teaching and instructing, about guiding, about counseling, about protection from the wolves. It's about sometimes telling the sheep from the Word of God things that they don't want to hear, not just the things so they'll like you. It's about guiding them and helping them in their lives and loving them as Christ does. Third, Jesus asks once again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now the first answer, verse 15, and the third answer, verse 17, use the same Greek word, feed and feed. But you notice the second part of Jesus' answer is different. feed my lambs, my little lambs. But in the third one, it says, feed my sheep. And the Greek word that is used for feed has two different possibilities of translation. The first one, I believe, is accurate. Feed my lambs, these little lambs that are born and are so necessary for the feeding so that they can grow and get stronger. But when they're sheep, they need to be tended. That Greek word can sometimes be translated feed, sometimes be translated tend, and some of your translations have translated it tend. One person whom I respect translates it pasture. These sheep that the Lord has given to Peter are given to him to feed from the Word of God, to shepherd from the Word of God, to counsel, to love, and to care for, and to pasture. That means that you provide a place for them where they can be near the Lord. That you provide a place for them where it's not about the building, it's not about the dynamic pastor, it's not about your church looking like a shopping mall so that people will be more attracted to it and more comfortable in that kind of environment which reminds them of the world. It's not about the big screen up tall so that you can show the movie and get everybody excited to come to your church because of how exciting it is. It's about being near Christ. It's about being with Him, to pasture in a place where you can be fed by Him, where you can be shepherded by Him, where you can be with Him, where you can taste what is in heaven, where He is and where you someday will be. Where you can say, having left the service, we have been with Christ because we have heard His word expounded clearly, faithfully, and where we know that we will be faithfully shepherded, instructed, loved, cared about, and we will know that our Savior lives because He lives in the life of that congregation and those people. You see, that's what Jesus is instructing Peter after he is reinstated in terms of how that ministry should be carried on in his church. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the new building program and all the things that that new building can do and accomplish and the make big statement it can make in the community. It's not about the numbers. But it's about whether Christ's lambs and sheep are cared for. And that those lambs and those sheep who leave that pasture and go into that world where there are wolves, that they will act as sheep, that they will know that they are sheep, and they will treat one another as if they are sheep together in Christ. And that as faithful sheep who are faithfully fed by our Savior, they will follow Him, being willing to die for Him, die to this world, maybe suffer because they love Him, because they are his. He's in heaven now. You remain. But he is calling you to follow him. And for Peter, he has laid out what following him means. But it's not just for Peter. It is also for you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word which you have given to us. We thank you for the gospel writer of John and his great commission, for the specific way you inspired him to write these verses for us. For Lord, as we reflect on these things, we see how he has enhanced for us the great commission given in the other gospels. We see specifically how the ministry that you began when you came to earth, when you died on the cross, when you rose again and ascended on high, how that ministry is to be carried on in your church and in the lives of your people. Father, we pray for your church. We pray that you would give us faithful shepherds, faithful pastors, faithful elders, who would recognize their role before you, not make themselves the ministry, not make their own wisdom and knowledge the focus of their ministry, but that the focus would be Christ, that faithfully as they love Christ, they would love Christ's lambs and sheep, that they would faithfully teach them the word, that they would faithfully shepherd and guide them, that they would faithfully pasture them while they are here still on earth. Grant us wisdom, Father, even in this local congregation, as we seek to follow these verses and instructions. Grant us as members, as lambs, as sheep, to be faithful in our participation in the shepherding, in the feeding, in the pasturing. Give us courage in the context of John's great commission to speak to others about what it means to love Christ and to be part of his church, that others too may be drawn in. And Father, we do not forget that last phrase, follow me. Help us, O God, to give up the things of this world and our focus on those things, and put our focus on what it means to die to this world and glorify our Savior. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.